We bring in Danny West of HogSports.com. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
We're good. Did you survive the flood this morning up there in northwest Arkansas?
I did. Well, I tell you what, Trey, it's been the craziest summer as far as weather. Everything's still green. It's great. Don't get me wrong, but, man, sure is weird.
It is. It is. Well, Danny, first off, before we get too heavily into recruiting, let's talk Razorback practice. How's it going? One more day of pads, shoulder pads, before they put on the full pads tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? So far, we've talked to Bielema, of course, on Monday, and then the last 2 days we've had both of the offensive and defensive coordinators, Jim Chaney and Chris Ash, of course. And really, they're not saying a whole lot. There's really not much they can say until they get into full pads and go through their first scrimmage, and we understand that. But, you know, there have been some key things to look at. I think they're happy with how Brandon Allen has started off at quarterback. He's seems like he's, you know, that confidence is continuing to grow, and that's always kind of been the question for him. It looks like he's starting to come into his own, so he's gotten off to a pretty good start. I thought the Mikael McKay, you know, transfer, or what appears to be a transfer, I thought that was a little bit of a shot to him, but you know what, with D'Arthur Cowan, Keon Hatcher getting a lot of attention here lately, I think they'll probably be okay at receiver, but other than that, still a lot of question marks, a lot of interesting battles to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. But I think they're happy with where they're at right now. Everyone's still healthy, so that's the key thing.
Yeah, I mean, you see in the NFL camps, it's like a record number so far with all these players going out before really any games. What about everybody showing up in shape? You know, some of the freshmen or some of the you know, offensive line or D-line or anything like that, or players, did the offseason do them well as far as the transformation? Do they look quicker, bigger, stronger, faster? And, you know, some of the freshmen, anybody stand out early?
Well, you know, as far as transformations, the Bray Cook thing, I can tell you that is legit. That is one big-looking dude right now. He's increased his bench press reps from 27 to 41 reps.
Whoa.
From 25. 41, guys.
41 reps?
I think that may be an NFL record if, you know, if he ever gets to the draft.
Well, and, it's probably up there. I think that – I don't know if it's – I don't know. You might be right. I don't know.
That is way up there.
That's a big jump, though, 27 to 41. That means you've been working, mm-hmm. you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, he also increased his squat max by 60 pounds. You hear about Grady Allison at right tackle. He went from 280 to 304 after Tuesday's practice is what he weighed in at. Great-looking guy right now. I was kind of skeptical to see if he could hold that kind of weight, but so far they've proved me wrong with him. He's at 304 looking good. Trey Flowers comes to mind. He improved his squat max by 65 pounds since Ben Herbert came on campus. And then Byron Jones, I think he's bench pressing 420 with a squat max of 680. So, I mean, those are some big-time numbers.
Well,
everybody looks a little more toned, and I can imagine they feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, and that's awesome to hear that. The one thing is, though, that has to transfer over to the field.
That's it.
And when you get bigger and stronger, sometimes you don't get faster. We saw that with Hunter Mickelson on the basketball court. You got to do your quickness drills and make sure your footwork, that's just as important, if not more important, than lifting weights. So hopefully the speed is improving as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying it is. They're saying they've still got their athleticism. But like you said, Matt, you're judged by wins and losses in this league. So it'll all come out in the wash.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. Danny, let's go to Paul first. Paul's been holding for quite a while.
Okay.
Paul, thanks so much. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. A couple of comments to the guys, Johnny Manziel. I heard Kirk Herbstreit the other day say a couple things about it that either A, he wasn't guilty of it, or B, he was the dumbest kid in America, because he has to know that if he accepts money, then he's out. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. he said every college athlete is told that one time, every Heisman Trophy winner has thrown that 100 times.
That's the thing. They both know it's wrong is the deal. Not only Johnny, but the guy, the autograph guy.
Knows it's wrong.
They both know it's wrong.
And also, I was going to comment earlier about the Tiger Field deal. I'd have to say Tiger had a better season. Just, I would say by probably because he's only entered probably half the events that everybody else has entered. If you go back and look at what he does every year, he only enters usually 50.
I was going to say, has he played 12 or 14 events and he's won five times? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
his percentages are a lot higher.
Yeah, that's what I think. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Okay, Paul, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, Danny, no recruiting there, but obviously there is some recruiting news. Wide receiver Jared Cornelius is deciding between Arkansas and Missouri this Friday. The last time Arkansas and Missouri were going for a wide receiver, he chose the Tigers.
Yeah, that's right. But I actually thought it would go the other way the last time, but here I am again predicting another wide receiver to Arkansas, and I truly do feel pretty good about this one. Jared Cornelius out of Shreveport. He's visited both Arkansas and Missouri in the last few weeks. I really feel good about Arkansas's chances. I think he likes maybe the direction of the program a little better at this stage. He really came up here, really enjoyed his visit in Fayetteville. You know, he's built a pretty good relationship with Michael Smith, the wide receivers coach. And this is we've got him rated as a two-star right now. He's under evaluation again. I think he's probably going to get a pretty nice bump. This is a guy I really like on the field. He was probably the most impressive receiver I saw at Arkansas's camp. So if it goes the way I think it will, I think he'll be a Razorback Friday at around 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I was going to ask you, what goes into these kids being evaluated for people that are listening for the, you know, the two-star, three-star? How often are they evaluated? And what goes into that as far as who decides? Is it a committee or is it just one person, you know, that goes into, you know, saying this is a two- or three-star or four or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, Rivals, we try to keep our evaluations updated every 3 to 4 months, and everyone who's seen the kid in person, everyone pretty much has a say in how that kid is evaluated.
Okay.
Like Jared Cornelius, I saw him at Arkansas's camp, therefore I will have a suggestion to put in for him, and I've got him as a high three-star. So we'll kind of put all those together and mix them up a little bit and come out with a happy medium, I think.
Okay, yeah, and you said every 3 to 4 months, because I wonder when kids get evaluated, if you see them once when they're going into their junior year, if they're not evaluated again till the senior year or what. But that's good to know every 3 to 4 months. And wanted to ask you about the two guys, the D-tackle and O-line. Is it Armin Watts and Brian Wallace? They're teammates from a St. Louis school that they're visiting this weekend.
Yeah, Christian Brothers College High School in St. Louis. These are a pair of teammates, as you said. Armin Watts, defensive tackle. He was actually at the Arkansas camp a few weeks ago, picked up an offer afterwards. He's also got offers from Kentucky, Missouri, Wisconsin has offered. So pretty solid prospect, 6'5", 270, somewhere in that range. So he's kind of smaller for a defensive tackle. He could be a big defensive end, but again, I feel pretty good about Arkansas's chances there. I think he's Armand's a guy, he's really not huge on the whole recruitment process, so I think he may want to make a pretty early decision and just get it over with, and if so, I have to like Arkansas's chances. Now, his teammate, I expect to take a little longer. He's a big-time prospect. Brian Wallace, offensive tackle from the same school in St. Louis. Arkansas is actually in his top five right now, along with Alabama, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Iowa. So pretty big competition that you're trying to beat out for this guy. But you know what? You get him on campus, you've got a pretty good start with him.
Yeah, what goes into these kids coming now instead of waiting, you know, to come to a game with that atmosphere? Is that is it an advantage maybe getting them first, but is it a disadvantage that they're not up there for a game with that actual atmosphere? Because then wouldn't you want them to come back to be around that?
Sure, yeah, and they still get their officials this fall.
Okay, so this is unofficial?
These are both unofficials.
Sorry.
Yeah, they can't start their official official visits until the very first day of their senior year. So, you know, class for these guys hasn't started yet. So these will be unofficial visits. But, again, I do expect both to return again this fall for a game and do that whole weekend deal.
Yeah, that cleared it up because I didn't know if it was official. It just seemed odd. But, yeah, you, like you said, first game senior year.
Lynn and Sherwood on our Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback says, I keep hearing all this talk about how the new strength coach has transformed various players' body and how much weight linemen have gained, et cetera, et cetera. I just hope that in a year or two we are not being investigated for growth hormone use issues.
Well, you know, you look at J.J. Watt, for example, and Owen Daniels. You look back at Wisconsin, what Coach Bielema was able to do with those guys. And, Danny, J.J. Watt was a two-star, two-star tight end, I believe,
yes.
And he was able to transfer into now he's probably the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what you can do with your body. I mean, just the other day, you look at Kiro Small's transformation picture, and you kind of see that little overhang, that little, they call it spare tire on his side. I mean, what he did was simply lose that and turn the rest into muscle. I don't think he, blew up and gained all these kinds of inches in his biceps and all that. He just really transformed, you know, what was already there and toned himself up and made himself look a little sharper, in my opinion. Same deal with Bray Cook. You know, he's always been a big guy, but he just, you know, you do different exercises, you're going to get different results.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. If you have a question for Danny West while we have him, you are welcome to give us a call. You can also send us your Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback. We will read it right here on the air. Danny, one thing I wanted to ask you about, some reports that I've been hearing out of practice yesterday. The defense had a good first part of the practice. They had three interceptions and a forced fumble. And then the offense had the better second half of practice with a couple of big runs and three touchdown passes, two of those from Brandon Allen and one from A.J. Derby.
Yeah, I think you, as a coach, I would think you'd have to like that. You know, kind of balance it out a little bit. Let's see some progression from both sides. I think that's exactly what you're looking for in this camp. I don't think you'd be too happy if you had four interceptions and Brandon Allen went 10 of 30 for the day, if you know what I mean. So,
right.
I think it's good to see some positive signs from both sides.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I heard was reading something on Georgia that Aaron Murray threw three picks, although one of their running backs had a 75-yard touchdown, and I believe Georgia's defense picked off their quarterback six times. If Georgia, they always have talent, and that's my preseason pick to win the national championship. If their defense is rolling, I think Aaron Murray is going to be fine enough. And with those running backs, you know, they could be tough. But most of the time, the defense is ahead of the offense the first week. Mm-hmm. How are the quarterbacks controlling the huddle? You know, can you see that?
Media can't go.
Oh, okay. I just wonder.
We just have to hear.
Yeah, I wish I could.
I got you.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week we'll start getting in there for a little more and be able to talk about, you know, what we're seeing as opposed to just being told what they're seeing.
Yeah, here's what the coaches are telling us and everything.
Yeah.
And I guess what little bit of video that they do release you get to see. Let's head to Matt in Conway. Matt, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
I had a question about Alex Williams. I'm really excited about him, and I was just wondering if you guys think that he's going to make as much of an impact as his skill from high school appear that he's going to. So that's my question. I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
He asked about Alex Collins.
It sounded like he said Alex Williams,
but I think he's talking about Alex Collins.
I think
Collins.
He meant Collins, yeah.
I think he's talking about Collins. Yeah, I could definitely see Alex jumping right in there and taking off. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how to make a prediction as far as what kind of numbers to expect. I mean, you look at Jonathan Williams, don't sleep on that guy. You know, I understand people are in love with the brand-new freshman, and yes, he's definitely going to have his time at Arkansas, but I really like what you see out of Jonathan Williams in the spring. He's much bigger. They're trying to make him into a more physical back. I think that's really going to complement him as a runner. You know, he's always been that elusive speed type guy. He can get away from you, but I think he'll be a more complete back, and as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be tough to keep off the field. But yeah, Alex Collins has a very, very bright future. I think he's in the perfect style of offense. He's got a variety of running styles. He's a power back, a speed back, scat back, you name it. He's wrapped up into a nice, you know, 5'11", 210-pound frame with speed. You've got to love that. So, he's definitely a popular pick right now.
Another freshman that I'm hearing is getting a lot of reps with the ones and twos and could have an impact, Drew Morgan of Greenwood.
Yeah, ain't that something? I'm proud of Drew. That kind of surprised me earlier this week. Jim Chaney, Brett Bielema came out and said, you know what, that guy, he's really surprised us so far. That is very good news. You know, Drew's just a football player. Mm-hmm. That's all he is. Coaches used to say, we used to ask high school coaches, and we've had several people tell us this. He never was the best running back in the state. He wasn't the best receiver or safety, but he was the best football player. That guy, he's not the biggest, not the fastest, but he just goes out there and makes plays, and apparently he's doing that once again at Arkansas.
And you know who that reminds me of is a guy that I played with for 3 years, Tony Bua.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he played Absolutely. On the defensive side of the ball. But
it wasn't the biggest and the strongest.
But his football IQ was up there as far as being one of the best and just found a way to make plays. And I said yesterday that I believe Drew Morgan, if he can be the punt returner, will definitely see more reps as far as that receiver and have a chance to get on the field more. If he's sure-handed, that's a guy you want back there. Not necessarily because he's the fastest, that he's going to break a lot for touchdowns, but he's not going to fumble the ball. He's going to catch the ball and get 10, 15, 20. And when he gets a big one, it's 30 or 40 yards.
Let's go to Tanner in the Rock. Tanner, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Yeah, I had a question about Mikhail McKay and him transferring, if there's any news on that. And a second question about Cody Walker and where he's going to fit on the running back depth chart, what he's going to do this year. And I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Tanner.
Danny? Yeah, Mikhail McKay, yeah, it does appear that he will transfer. I'm sorry, Trey, go ahead.
No, it's out of the coach's hands with him.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. He's pretty much a done deal. He's going to leave. But you know what, D'Arthur Cowan, they've talked about him a lot, just like you hear with Drew Morgan. As Trey mentioned, D'Arthur Cowan's coming on. He caught 15 of 15 targeted passes the other day. I think you have to be excited about him. Keon Hatcher will step in and help out. And then with Cody Walker, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. He's got to stay on the field and stay healthy. There's not too many third-year sophomores going into this season with 6 rushing touchdowns on 21 carries. So he's been an efficient back when he's been healthy. So we'll see how it goes with Cody. He's in great shape, though, I can tell you that.
Let's head to Brian in Malvern. Brian, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, thank y'all. Hey, I noticed where Auburn went live with their 4 quarterbacks in practice this week. And I was wondering if, Coach Malzahn said that he was doing that to try to get some separation, in a pretty close quarterback race, or is he doing that just to try to toughen these guys up a little faster, you know, before the season starts?
That's a good question. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call. Danny, I don't know why Gus Malzahn would let his quarterbacks receive some live hitting.
I don't know, but I did read a report this morning. He said that will be the only time, so apparently he wasn't. I don't know if he got someone hurt, but boy, that would not be good if he did.
It's good. You know, Coach Lee, when we had David Lee there for a couple years, first 2 years, there was a couple scrimmages early that he would want you to get hit a little bit. Now,
maybe if you're indecisive of who your starter's going to be.
If you take off or something. Yeah. If you have a proven guy, of course not. Yeah. But if you got a couple guys, you want to see him hit because you want to see how they respond to it because they're going to get hit out there on Saturdays.
Hey, Danny, can we hold you on for another 15 minutes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Danny West is going to stay with us for a little bit longer. It's Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network, 1-800-477-1037. Give us your call. We'll be back right after this. We bring back Danny West of HogSports.com, part of our Arkansas Car Stereo Recruiting Report. And let's head to Jim in North Little Rock. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This question was for Danny. I was curious. I know that Arkansas in 2013 signed 23 scholarship athletes. And I know that there's a hard cap at 25, but it's my understanding you can roll some of those over for midterm signees for the next class. But I've also been noticing some things on hogsports.com that seems to suggest that coaches are only going to be able to sign 25, even though there appear to be two slots left over that they could have got JUCO midterms. How many players are they actually going to be able to sign in this class, I guess, is my long question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they will sign 25. That's my understanding. I have not got clarification on how that exactly worked because, to be honest with you, I expected them to sign 27, in 2014 as well. I'm not sure if they, maybe distributed a couple of walk-on scholarships. I'm not sure what happened there, but I will definitely ask about that again today. Bielema was asked about that on Monday, I guess, and he kind of really didn't give a straightforward answer, so we'll see what we can find out about that. But right now, I do know they plan on signing 25.
Well, I know that there was some speculation that they were going to be able to sign extra ones in the last class, but there mm-hmm. were some I's that weren't dotted and T's that weren't crossed from the previous administration, so to speak, that kind of put them behind the eight ball, and they could really only sign that hard 25. So I didn't know if they were still dealing with that on some level or if, like you said, they were holding them for walk-ons. I know he had mentioned he wanted to build a strong walk-on program, and maybe he's holding those spots for those guys that are trying to work their way onto the team on scholarship. So I got one other quick question. How do you feel about Kevin Shorter? I know that Texas kind of came in at the 11th hour, and it was kind of mm-hmm. down to A&M and Arkansas at one point. But I know that his cousin, DJ Dean, is like a brother and is obviously on the team as a freshman. And now that they've got the fullback that transferred in from Stephen F. Austin that is right. from their hometown together as well, it sounds like they're kind of building a little network together. That you feel pretty strong that Shorter is going to call the Hogs on the 17th?
Well, I'll tell you this. Regardless of what he does on the 17th, Jim, I think in the end, come February, I think you would still probably have a chance of sneaking back in there and possibly flipping him, even if he's committed to A&M or Texas, which, like you said, has really made a strong push as of late. Like I said last week on here, they've got a funny way of kind of messing things up for Arkansas, but to be honest with you, if someone held a gun to my head right now and told me to pick where he's going to end up, I would say Arkansas, and I would say he probably will commit to Arkansas on the 17th, but nothing is for sure. I think you nailed it with DJ Dean being his cousin. I think they pretty much were raised in the same house, and then, of course, one of their good friends, a walk-on, will be coming to Arkansas, walk-on fullback to transfer from Stephen F. Austin. I look at all that. Greg Gadsden was their uncle. And of course, his son, Greg Gadsden Jr., played at Arkansas. A lot of family ties for Texas and Texas A&M that they don't have. So I like Arkansas's chances.
Yeah, have I got time for one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of like with regards to the defensive line. And I know that defensive tackle is something that they're really going after with mm-hmm. Bijan Jackson already on, and, of course, they're going hard after Frazier. And it sounds like Evans is out of Wisconsin is ready to commit as well, or ready to flip. I think we just got to get him on campus, and that's all that's going to take. But it sounds like, from what I was reading earlier this week on your website, that they're considering just signing three defensive tackles this year. But if that's the case, Armin Watts is going to be in this weekend. Do they go ahead and take his commitment if he tries to offer it, or are they going to ask him to hold off, or are they going to swap him out to a defensive end possibly and try to tag team him with Solomon Thomas?
No, they. That's a good question. I appreciate it. Armin Watts, he's, like I said earlier, he's a guy, he can do both, but I do know for a fact if he were to commit, if he were to try to commit, they plan on taking it. So, you look at him, he's a guy that if you get some of these other defensive tackles, maybe you can shift him over and make him a defensive end. If not, he's got the frame certainly to put on plenty of pounds and become a defensive tackle for you, so that he's a good fit. Craig Evans, like you said, he's one of those guys they're very, very high on. Craig, of course, is committed to Wisconsin. This is the second time he has committed to Wisconsin, but that's still a very shaky situation. He told the Rivals guys from Wisconsin last week that Charlie Partridge is his favorite coach and that he'll definitely visit Arkansas this fall. So things look good there. Josh Frazier still in the mix. It's going to take a while. We'll see what he does, but nothing firm is going to happen there for a long time. And then Solomon Thomas, of course, like you said, he's the number one defensive end prospect on their board, in my opinion. Big-time kid. Also has family ties at Arkansas, so we'll see how that shakes out. But a lot of competition to beat for him. Alabama, Texas, Stanford is very high on his list, so we'll see what he does.
Has the ship sailed on the defensive tackle out of Florida that was Kirkland's cousin? I know that he was interested in Arkansas until Miami offered, and then he committed.
Yeah, Demetrius Jackson, a defensive end from down there. I'm not sure Arkansas was ready to take his commitment. He did try to give it at one time. I'm not sure that sat too well with him, and then Miami offers. So it worked out for him. But I think the ship has sailed, if that would be my guess.
Yeah. Well, speaking of guys that seem like they want to commit but they haven't yet, what about Dominic Sanders? What seems to be the holdup on there? Is it just him making an official visit?
It's kind of funny. They took Kaliah Hackett last week from Georgia, the safety or linebacker. I'm sorry, they plan on playing him at linebacker. And he has never visited, but they've had guys like Jackson and Sanders, like you just mentioned. These guys have never visited and tried to commit, and they held off on them. So first of all, I think that tells you a lot about Hackett and how they feel about him taking his commitment, even though he hasn't committed or hasn't visited yet. But Dominique still plans to visit, from what I hear, and so we'll see what he does. He can be a safety or a cornerback for you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Let's head to Adrian in Bryant. Adrian, welcome to Overtime.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
I got a question about a recruit that's out of Florida. His name is Madre London. I was just wanting to know if Arkansas's high on him, or I know he's got a lot of offers.
All right. Thank you, Adrian. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Madre is actually a Bryant, Arkansas native. Went down there so he could be a little higher recruited, I guess. Went to South Florida. The name escapes me of the big high school down there, St. Thomas. He's there now. Picked up a lot of. Right, yes, sir. Thanks, Trey. He's got a lot of big-time offers. I don't think Arkansas is really that high on him right now. Maybe they, if they don't get a Kevin Shorter and they miss on a Shy McKenzie from Pennsylvania, maybe you ease down to him and he gets a closer look. But right now, just doesn't seem like much is happening for Madre in Arkansas right now. I'm not sure what the holdup is there, if there's just something in his game that they don't like, but so far, not a whole lot going on there.
Let's head to Gentle Ben. Benjamin.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask your guest the question about Hunter Henry. What kind of impact you think he'll be this year? And some people think he might start. Some people might think he just get 8 or 10, plays a game or whatever. But also, second question is, as far as Hunter goes, do you think he might be on any of the special teams? Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, so far so good on Hunter. Barry Lunny spoke very highly of him on Tuesday. They're excited about his size and speed. He's kind of got that athleticism with that size. Boy, he's going to be a tough matchup for a lot of teams. I'm not sure, if he's going to be ready to start. Maybe late in the season he'll start coming along and push for a starting job. But he's certainly a guy that I would expect to play and play very often as a true freshman.
Danny, any other players that you've heard about standing out already in this fall camp?
Yeah, one that, we talked about Drew Morgan, of course, on offense, but kind of the guy on defense, same kind of true freshman that's getting a lot of attention right now is DJ Dean, the cornerback out of Texas, Newton, Texas, who happens to be, of course, Kevin Shorter's cousin. Getting a lot of positive talk out of him right now. Things appear to be going well for him so far. He's a little bit on the smaller side, about 5'10", DJ's probably about 170, I would guess, but certainly a speedster and probably could help them in the return game as well.
That's well, there's the music.
Thanks for staying a little extra,
yeah,
Danny.
Yeah, thanks
that
for
was,
staying extra,
good.
Danny.
Yeah.
We
were, oh, man, I
the last
it.
Couple of times
thanks,
we've had you on, it seems like as soon as you leave that, you know, two or three more callers, you know, call in for questions for you. So we appreciate
it. Well, I enjoy it.
All right, Danny, have a good one. Thanks a lot.
You too, bud.